as we return to the ministry of the word, let's seek the Lord's face in prayer. O Lord, we thank thee for thy precious word, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And we pray that our hearts will be still now in thy presence. We know that in everyday life there are many things to distract us, but we pray that for these few minutes together, we will focus on thee and on thy truth, that every distraction of the mind will be removed, that we will be closed in with God, that we might indeed together receive a word in season from him. O Lord, touch these stammering lips of clay, that they might utter that which thou would have them utter. Give that help from heaven, we pray. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. As we think of this part of the wonderful 119th Psalm, we rejoice in what the psalmist is saying to us here and how he challenges us. We see there in verse 57, first of all, that he has made his commitment. I have said that I would keep thy words. The psalmist is really declaring that as God has chosen him, so he has chosen himself to make the Lord his portion and has placed all his dependence on him. He has been chosen by the Lord. Chosen in the Lord even before the foundation of the world. And now, as one who knows the Lord, he is committed to live for God continually and to place all his dependence on him. He's committed to keeping the Lord's word. The Lord's words of instruction. The Lord's words as it comes in the form of commandments. Every aspect of the Holy Scriptures, he wants with the help and the grace of God to apply to his life daily. He's committed to this. And of course, there is a promise here. Him that honoreth me, says the Lord, I will honor. So the psalmist knows that as he honors God, God will honor him. And the psalmist can testify to this. He says, thou art my portion, O Lord. But even the most committed child of God will experience days of trial. We will all experience days of uncertainty, disappointment, and grief. These things come to all of us. God's people are not exempt from these things. We are creatures of clay. We are children of the dust. And he remembereth that we are but dust. And so we often find ourselves that as we endeavor to keep God's word and to be obedient to him, that, you know, we are being tested, as it were, daily. Our faith needs to be tested. If everything was plain sailing in the Christian life, where would that real faith in the Lord be experienced? Surely it is when we are facing days of difficulty and trial, and we are learning to lean upon him, that we learn to trust him more, that we prove the all-sufficiency of his grace, that we indeed prove the sincerity and truth of his promises. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And so, it is good that the psalmist here is saying to before the Lord and to us that he does not want to become cold or careless. He wants to be committed to the Lord and his word. During these days of pandemic, I think it is evident in many places that there has been a degree of carelessness that has slipped in the part of many of God's people. And the hearts of some have become cold. And we find that very often God's people in this situation are not as close to him as they ought to be. But the fact is that regardless of what the circumstances are around us, and we can indeed forget the pandemic as an excuse for not worshipping the Lord as we should, we, like the psalmist, should avoid becoming cold and careless in our ways, and we should faithfully follow the Lord. Now, the psalmist hadn't always got it right. Despite his best intentions, he had not always kept his vows to the Lord, his covenants with God. And you know, brethren and sisters, so often we are full of good intentions. Oh, the heart, the mind and the heart, indeed feels compelled to do that which is honoring to the Lord, and to indeed shun that which would be grievous to him. And we find that here is one who knows that he has made his mistakes. In verse 58 he prays, "Be merciful unto me, O God, according to thy word." He speaks about entreating God's favor with his whole heart, pleading for grace to do better and for the pardoning and forgiveness of his sins and failings. Oh, we can say in the words of the hymn writer, "Who is a pardoning God like thee, or who is grace so rich and free?" And we are reminded by the Apostle John that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You and I will never be sinlessly perfect this side of eternity, but we rejoice that there is that fountainhead opened in the house of David for sin and for uncleanness. And those of us who are in Christ can come continually and regularly to the throne of grace, plead that blood, that precious blood which has atoned for all our sins, and plead the cleansing of Calvary. As we look at verse 59, I see the psalmist's consideration. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. Now, when we read here about the psalmist giving thought to his ways, we should not imagine that this was some light, casual, passing thought, where he would take 5 minutes to examine himself and study himself in the light of God's word. No. These are the words of a man who has been alone with God. He has indeed taken stock. But he says, I thought in my ways. Oh, he considered all his ways before God. And then he says, and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. As I said, he hadn't got all things right at all times. Nor will we. But as he considered himself and examined himself in the light of Holy Scripture, he was drawn closer to the Lord. He was compelled by the Spirit of God to turn his feet onto the Lord's testimonies. When we think of this, he is giving serious consideration to all his ways, his lifestyle, his moments, his motives, his tastes, his practices. He gives thought, serious, ongoing thought, as to how he appears before God. Now you and I who are saved by the grace of God, we stand before him. We appear before him as his redeemed children, the objects of his eternal love. And yet, when it comes to your life and my life, our testimony before God, how does he see us? As obedient children, as disobedient, as those who love his word, not only love his word, but love to obey his word? Or could we be grieving and vexing the Holy Spirit of God through our disobedience? And so, as we think of the psalmist, he gave thought to his ways. He realized that action was required, and he turned his feet unto the Lord's testimonies. His walk before God, we would gather as through these words, was not right. He had been treading in the wrong direction. And the Lord would exhort you and me to take this in stock, to judge ourselves, lest we be judged. It's very easy to judge others, and indeed pass words of judgment. But we need first and foremost to examine ourselves. Every individual is accountable to God. That brother or sister who indeed might leave room for someone in God's family to point the finger at them. Well, before we would do such, it's good to look at our own hearts and see that our lives are in order. For every man, every woman individually will give account to God. And in verse 60, he says, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. Without delay, he poured out his heart to the Lord. without delay. He was determined to make the Word of God the rule and guide of his faith and practice. And you know, that's what Chillingworth said. The Bible and the Bible alone is the religion of Protestants. We think of Samuel's words to rebellious Saul. For to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Obedience. You know, when we go right back to Eden's garden, and we think of Adam and Eve, and all the blessings bestowed upon them, and how they walked with God and talked. And all the Lord expected of them was obedience. And there was that one commandment. And they couldn't indeed keep it. We find that the enemy led them into sin. And the Lord, in his grace and goodness, made provision for them, as he has made for us today. But we find that all the Lord demanded there in Eden's garden was, obey me. And so we need to apply that to ourselves. And if there's one listening in today who, young or older, who does not know the Lord, well, without Christ in your heart, you will never be able to keep the Lord's commandments. Indeed, every effort you make is vanity, is a vain effort, because we must first and foremost see Christ through the eye of faith, bearing our sins in his own body in the tree. There has to be repentance. There has to be indeed that prayer of confession to God, drawn by the Holy Spirit of God to the throne of grace, to the Lord's feet. Have you experienced that? The new birth, through saving faith in Christ, are you born again today? And when we are born again of the Spirit of God, then like the psalmist, we will have this desire to please God rather than grieve it. Then, thirdly, I want you to see his contemplation. And his contemplation of the past. The bands of the wicked have robbed me. And the psalmist here is saying that he had many wicked enemies. They detested his love for the Lord. And they were envious of the blessings God had bestowed upon him. They had sought to ruin his testimony and discredit his name. And so we find that even when God's people are walking as God would have them walk, and indeed representing the Lord in a way that is honoring to him, even then, the enemy will forge lies. They will seek to discredit the child of God. They will bear false witness. And the enemies of the Lord are our enemies. These enemies who hate and detest the gospel of Christ, they hate and detest us who are in Christ, so many of them. Therefore, while we must not give the world excuses to point the finger at us, they will, if there's nothing indeed to accuse us of, they will falsely accuse us. Be not overly concerned, brethren and sisters, when men speak evil of us, even when we do good. And we find here that here is the psalmist, and he says, the bands of the wicked have robbed me. Oh, they have robbed him of many things, and indeed tried to rob him of his reputation and testimony. But I have not forgotten thy law. Even in her hearts, even if her hearts have become cold and careless, God forbid, but if that should be the case, the Lord will not allow us to forget his word and his law. One of the great things of the Christian life is this: when a man or a woman is genuinely saved, when they are the Lord's, called by his name, when that divine work of the Holy Spirit has taken place in the heart, a believer in Christ may depart for a season. They may grieve the Lord for a season, but their names are engraven in the palms of his hands. He will not let them go, and his word will continue to challenge them, to correct them. They will be rebuked. And the backslider is the most unhappy person on earth, because he or she is spoiled, as it were, for both worlds. Those living with one foot in the world and one foot in the church, as it were, well, they're not, they've got no contentment, no inner peace. That man, that woman who is a child of God, as they walk with God and commune with him continually, they will have that constant indwelling peace, a peace that passes all understanding. And so we should be mindful of our frailties and always look to the Lord, the God of our past. We can look back and say, yes, he has always been there for me and never failed me. The God of our present. The God of our future. And what a future the believer has in him. And then there's his confession of gratitude. Verse 62. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgment. We find that even in the night hour, in the night watch, on his bed, as he would lift himself up from his couch, he is praising the Lord for his righteous dealings and judgments, for his free and merited favor. I sometimes find that if I wake up from my sleep, rather than count sheep in my head, as we used to tell children to do and such things, just talk to the Lord. Just recall the day that is past and talk to him and confess that sense of gratitude for his great faithfulness. last his blessing upon the day ahead. His loving kindness never fails. His mercies endure forever. You know, we take and receive these great blessings from the Lord, but we must also, like the psalmist, express, confess our gratitude to him. As I think further on these things, I see his chosen company in verse 63. I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. The psalmist here says, my company, my companions are those who love my God, love the Lord like me, who have the same spiritual interests, who have the same desires, and who love that which I love. He desired godly company, and he sought fellowship with those who love the Lord. Company is very important for any young believers perhaps listening in or present this morning. I want to say to you, seek the company of God's people. Look to him as you would choose your companions. Seek fellowship with those who love the Lord. We can tune in, praise God today, and we have the church services, and we listen to the ministry of the word. But as we do so, it is not the matter of, you know, doing what is pleasing to the Lord and being in the company and fellowship of God. We are to make the Lord's people our companions. It is not the case of being isolationists. No, we are instructed to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We have to reach out to the ungodly. But we are not to make them our bosom companions and friends. We seek the company of those who will not pull us down spiritually, who will not indeed lead us in the wrong direction. And so I say particularly to younger believers, be careful. The example is of a man standing at a table and another standing beside the table. And the one on the table endeavors to pull the other up, and he struggles. It's too difficult for him. When the one standing on the ground, he has no trouble pulling the other down from the table. You think today the Lord has placed you on a higher plane. He has set you on higher ground. Oh, he will keep you forever. But we need to be sure that we do not give the ungodly opportunity to mar our testimony. We need to keep the company of the children of God. And of course, church fellowship is important. The prayer meeting is so important. The activities of the church, every one of them have their place. And God's people, as they worship together and serve the Lord together, there is this companionship, this bond of unity. And we indeed have our souls uplifted as we listen to and share in God's people singing his praises and rejoicing in him. We have many God-given ways of communication at our disposal. And above all, we have the throne of grace and the ear of heaven. Oh, that the Lord would keep us looking on to himself, the author and the finisher of our faith. In verse 64, the psalmist says, "The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes." We live in a world that is harsh and cruel. We live in a world where the devil is working overtime, seeking to pull down many, seeking indeed to destroy all that is honoring to the Lord, seeking in vain to defeat the purposes of God. But he's there, and he's an active enemy. And we find that this earth is full of sin. It is corrupted by sin. And we also hear, of course, about these efforts that are being made to put men on the moon so that little communities could spend time in the moon. The only thing that a man can take to the moon is a sin. And the sin of man has polluted this planet that we're on. And that's enough without trying to pollute other parts of the galaxy of heaven with the sin of our father Adam. But here is the psalmist, and he says, "The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy." Oh, it's full of sin. But where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound. And the mercy of God is seen all around us. His long suffering, his patience, his mercy, his grace. And the psalmist says, as I look around and I see that the earth is full of mercy, I see also the necessity of a close walk with God. And he says here, "The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy." And that is something we should rejoice in. But then he says, "Teach me thy statutes." As we receive so much from the Lord, may we have hearts in submission to his word and to his will, that we might indeed, by the teacher of all teachers, the Holy Spirit himself, who the Lord said would lead us into all truth, may he teach us his statutes. May he teach us to observe them for the benefit of the church, for the benefit of the family of God, but above all, for the honor of our blessed Savior, that his name might be glorified in and through us. Oh, may the Lord bless his precious word to our hearts. And maybe may all of us be able to say, I'm standing on the promises of God. I am seeking to walk before him, to tread the paths of righteousness. For any who might not be saved, may you realize this day, this great salvation, this Christian walk, it begins when we come as lost sinners to Jesus, effectually called by the Spirit of God, and indeed are irresistibly brought to him, to the place of repentance and faith in Christ, the Redeemer of men. May the Lord bless you all this day for his name's sake. Amen.